The Cult of Demons podcast was created for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
911, what is your emergency?
Yes, there's shots at Stoneman Douglas. Someone's shooting up the school at Stoneman Douglas.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What's happening?
Someone's shooting up Marcus Stoneman Douglas.
Someone is doing what? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Marcus Stoneman Douglas High School is being shot up.
Is being shot up? Are you at the school? I can't hear you. Are you at the school?
Holy.
Oh, holy. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Holy.
I sent all units in District 15. Possible shots fired at 5901 Pine Island Road at Stoneman Douglas High School. Possible shots fired at Stoneman Douglas High School.
And we're doing route. 1584 route.
Welcome to the Cult of Demons podcast, a true crime podcast series exploring the spiritual and psychological states of some of the evilest people in history who have claimed to be possessed by an entity such as a demon and or worship Satan. These are their stories. At 5'2" and a scrawny 120 pounds, little Nicholas Cruz didn't appear to be much of a threat to those that knew him, but no one knew the demon lurking beneath his skin that was about to unleash hell upon the people who would one day face his wrath. A massacre, he officially announced that fateful day.
Hello. My name is Nick, and I'm going to be the next school shooter of 2018. My goal is at least 20 people with an AR-15 and a couple trace rounds. I think I can do a good done. Location is Stoneman Douglas in Parkland, Florida. It's going to be a big event. And when you see me on the news, you'll all know who I am. You're all going to die. Pew, 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 pew. Can't wait. Today is the day that it all begins. The day of my massacre shall begin. All the kids in school will run in fear and hide. From the wrath of my power, they will know who I am. I am nothing, I am no one. My life is nothing and meaningless. Everything that I hold dear, I let go beyond your half. Every day I see the world ending another day. I live a lone life, live in seclusion and solitude. I hate everyone and everything. With the power of my AR, you will all know who I am. I had enough of being told what to do and when to do. I had enough of being telling me that I'm an idiot and a dumbass. But in real life, you're all the dumbass. You're all stupid and brainwashed by these political government programs. You will all see you will all know who my name is. My love for you, Angie, will never go away. I hope to see you in the afterlife. On one day or another, you will end and we'll all die. Alright, so here's the plan. I'm gonna go take an Uber in the afternoon before 2:40. From there, I'll go into the onto school campus, walk up the stairs, unload my bags, and get my AR and shoot people down at the main, courtyard. I'll wait, and people will die.
Before his name would go down in the cult of demons written in the blood of 17 martyrs on a Valentine's Day murderous rampage at Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida, Nicholas Cruz exhibited all the typical signs of a tortured soul. What could cause someone to have so much hate, to want to kill so many people? After his arrest, the 19-year-old gunman was grilled for 11 hours by Broward County Sheriff's Office homicide detective John Curcio. This is when Nick's dirty little secret about a demon was let out of the bag. He says that demons started tormenting him years earlier.
So other than the gun being cool, why did you need a gun like that? Just because you wanted it?
To feel safe.
To feel safe? Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit. All right, you go to the hospital, the doctors clear you. And you're talking about demons. What are the demons?
The voices.
Well, tell me about it. What are the voices about?
It's another voice, the evil side.
Okay. And how long has that voice been going on?
Years.
Okay. When did it start, you think? When your mom passed?
It started getting worse when my mom passed.
Okay. Did it start how many years before your mom passed, you think?
When my father died.
Okay. Did you ever tell anybody about the voice? Never? And what does the voice say to you? Well, what does it tell you to do?
Burn, kill, destroy.
Okay, burn, kill, destroy what?
Anything.
Okay, but have you ever burned, killed, or destroyed anything? What have you burned, killed, or destroyed?
Burned, just fire, set fire.
To what?
Pit. In the pit, fire.
Oh, a fire pit. Okay, well, I mean, the voice told you to burn something, you built a fire in a fire pit. What's destructive about that? That's what fire pits are made for. What else did the voice tell you to do that's...
Kill animals.
Okay, have you ever killed animals?
Yes.
What kind of animals?
Birds.
Birds? Wild birds or people's
birds.
Pets? How do you kill them?
Birds.
How do you kill them?
Wait for them, kill them.
Oh, can't catch them, so how are you waiting for them?
Out in the grass, wait for a bird to come up.
There's no way with that. I'm a bird lover. There's no way. You can't catch a bird, Holmes.
No, I mean like...
With a pelican? Oh, okay. Where's your pelican?
It broke.
Okay. All right, so the voices tell you to herd animals and start fires in the fire pit. All right, you never told anybody. You never told your mom? You ever told your brother? You told Zach about it. All right, now I asked you earlier what Zach's phone number was. Do you really remember it or not?
No.
Where's your phone at now? Was it on you when the police stopped you?
No.
What'd you do with it?
I don't know. I lost it.
If you would like to enjoy these podcasts ad-free without any interruptions and also get one free bonus episode every single month, please join us on Patreon and become a member for only $5. In addition to getting these podcasts ad-free, you will also help support me so I could have more time and money to produce some more cool podcasts for you. They take a lot of time and cash to create, so your support will go a long way in assisting me in doing this labor of love. Again, please join us in the member section for the Cult of Demons on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/cultofdemons. Again, patreon.com/cultofdemons. You can also go to the website at cultofdemons.com and click on the subscribe button and find out how you could subscribe and support the show. You see, life wasn't so easy for little Nicholas Cruz, and it turns out he would not go down in history as a saint like his first name might indicate. He is now a member of the Cult of Demons because he listened to their commands. The demons told him to buy weapons, kill animals, and destroy everything. The detective asked him, "What are the demons?" Nick then replied, "The voices, the evil side." Unfortunately, he obeyed their commands. Now that the death ritual has ended, we all must ask, was Nicholas Cruz just a demented person who lost control of his mind, or did the demons come from his haunted and tortured soul? There seems to be two distinctive camps of people who take up sides when claims like this are made by brutal killers. One camp of people, which fits most people, have the opinion that these statements are just excuses and lies by evil and sick people so they do not have to take full responsibility for their crimes. The other camp, which is the small minority, is not so quick to judge these claims as false. These people tend to be more educated about the occult and religion. They have studied the occult and/or experienced these phenomena to understand that in human history, every single race and culture across the known world has religious doctrines relating to what we call in the West, angels and demons. When I studied Nicholas Cruz's life story, read his eyewitness statements, and watched the video testimony of his interrogation, I knew that some entity could possibly be possessing this young man's body. His life, his words, his choices and actions all pointed to someone who was in control, and it was not Nick. A glimpse into his childhood reveals a history of bad blood. Before I delve into the history of Nicholas Cruz's crazy-ass biological mother, I wanted to feature some more audio of the interrogation tapes after the killings where he mentions the demons numerous times. He says they have been tormenting him for years. Pointing to his head, he says they are in here.
Because other than Zach, who else have you told about this voice? No one. Okay. And I can't remember, did you say you told your mom before she passed? No? Okay, so Zach's the only one you ever told. How about Emily? Did you ever tell Emily about the voice?
I think I did.
You think you did? You're not sure, though?
Not sure.
You know Emily's last name?
Brenner.
Brenner? Okay. Is she still a student out there?
Huh?
Is she still a student out at Douglas?
She doesn't go to Douglas.
She doesn't go to Douglas anymore? All right, so let's talk about the last couple days. When was the last time you heard the voice?
Yesterday.
What time was it yesterday?
It was at night.
Okay. And where were we at?
Work.
You're at work? So you're at Dollar Tree. And what's the voice telling you?
To hurt people.
To hurt people. Hurt people at Dollar Tree, or hurt people?
Hurt people in general.
Okay. Doesn't say specifically who? All right. So what happens? Do you hear the voice this morning, or no? Hey, what's the voice saying this morning? Okay, let's talk about it. Did the voice didn't tell you to take Uber, right?
Yes, it did.
It did?
Yes.
The voice said take Uber.
Yes. The voice isn't me.
You're the voice.
In here.
Okay, it's in your head.
Yes.
What is it, a male voice or a female voice?
Male.
Male? Can you tell how old the voice is?
My age.
Okay. Do you have a good voice too, or just a bad voice? Is there a voice inside you that says, do good things? No?
It's always bad.
Can't be. You held down a job for 2 years. If you were doing things bad, you wouldn't be able to hold a job down for 2 years, right? Okay. I mean, look.
It's me and then my bad side.
I understand. Everybody's got a, quote, good and bad side. There's people...
No, it's a voice. The voice isn't here. And then it's me. It's just regular me. Just trying to be a good person.
Okay. But, obviously, again, When you say it's a voice, it's you. It's all you. The voice is you as well.
Yeah,
the voice didn't force you to do anything, right?
No, the voice did. It's two voices. Uh-huh. There's one half that's the good and then the bad.
Yeah. Okay, well, the voice tells me to go to lunch and not pay for my meal, but I pay for my meal because I know that's the right thing to do, right? You've asked two or three times to me today that you don't deserve stuff.
I understand that.
But the bad side is you as well. Everybody's got a good and a bad side, you know.
I found it kind of funny when listening to Detective Curcio talk about his bad side, telling him not to pay his lunch bill, you know, dine and dash. But his good side intervenes. Maybe his demon is not as evil as Little Nick's. At one point during the interrogation, Nicholas Cruz asks for a psychologist to talk about his demons because it appears that he may feel the detective is not taking him seriously. Detective Curcio leaves and acts as if he's going to get Cruz some mental help, to only come back a few minutes later to grill him deeper about the voices and the demons.
All right. Got some stuff here. You with the water? Will you put it back over here? You definitely don't want the water, huh? All right, the school or the psychologist you want to talk to. Obviously, I would have to tell him what you want to talk to him about. So, what exactly do you, what do you want me to ask him, or what? Why do you want to talk to a psychologist?
To find out what's wrong with me.
Well, what do you think's wrong with you?
I don't know.
All right, well, the voices that you're talking about, now again, you know, again, I'm trying not to take too many notes, but you said they started after your dad died, but they were before your mom died, so.
Yeah, they were before my mother
died. Let's see, you told me your dad died in 2004, 2005. So, how many years about do you think you've been hearing these voices?
15 years.
15?
I don't know. Does that sound right?
No, because 15 on top of 5, we would be 2020. When you hear the voices, are the voices like outside your head or inside your head when you hear them?
Inside.
Okay, so it's not like you don't hear a voice from that corner talking to you. It's inside your head. And is it always the same voice or is it only one voice?
One voice, same.
And you said it's a man's voice? That's yeah.
Yes.
Does it sound like anybody you've ever met? Anybody you ever seen on TV? Can you tell, like, by an accent? Is it, what kind of, is it an old man, young man, white man,
young
black?
Man.
Young man? About the same age as you, you think? But it's only one voice you ever hear, right?
Yes.
Because I want to know what, you know, I'm going to tell this person.
I try to control it, but.
Well, how do you control it when you hear it?
Try to be moving.
Okay, so if you're sitting still, you hear the voice more than if you're moving? I mean, you talk about physically moving.
Yeah, physically moving.
Do you hear the voice when you're in bed at night sleeping?
Yes.
Do you ever see anything with the voice? Like like, you know, some people say, oh, I see a person sitting in the corner. You don't see anybody sitting over there, do you? It's just me and you, right? All right. Do you always obey what the voice tells you to do?
I try not to.
Okay. Well, how many, on any given week, how many times do you think you hear the voice? All the time?
Once every day.
Once every day? Morning, afternoon, night? Always the same time?
Usually in the afternoon.
About what time?
11 to 12.
Why do you think it's those hours?
I don't know.
It's always around lunchtime? You hear it at night when you go lay down? So you hear the voice more than at 11 or 12, right?
I hear it more at night.
Or
at I start hearing it in the afternoon. I hear it more at night.
Now, you talked about demons,
yeah.
And then you talk about the voice.
Yeah, that's the demon. The voice is the demon.
The voice is the demon. So there's not
the
two...
The person, whoever it is.
Does it have a name?
No name.
Does it ever say, hey, my name, Nick, my name is Nick? Does it use your name or use somebody else's name? Just a voice with no name.
With his voice with no name telling him what to do.
When you wouldn't listen to what the voice said, do you ever think that something bad would happen to you from the voice for not listening to it?
Loneliness.
Huh?
Loneliness.
Loneliness? So the voice, listening to the voice was going to keep you from being lonely? Okay, so help me out with this, because again, you know, I'm not trying to be a prick or anything like that, but how does building a fire in a fire pit when you're listening to the voice keep you from being lonely? How does that work?
Because I have someone in my head who I can talk to about it.
Okay, so your loneliness is fulfilled by the voice. So he's kind of like an imaginary friend.
Almost, yes.
But does he tell you good things to do as well? I think you already said he does sometimes.
No, that's just me.
That's just you?
That's the bad.
So why do you want to be friends with somebody who just wants to tell you to do bad things?
To have somebody.
Wouldn't you rather be alone than be with somebody who's telling you to do bad shit? That's like being around a friend who's always getting you in trouble. Why would you want a friend like that?
Because I have no one.
So you'd rather be in trouble than be lonely?
I don't want to get in trouble with the bad voice. It's just that I don't have anyone else.
You got your brother. I mean, you get along with your brother, right?
It's been, when we were growing up, he's been abusive.
What kind of abusive?
Name calling.
Okay, name calling. Shit, brothers do that every day of the week. Sisters, too.
It was constant.
Okay, but you have a good enough feeling towards your brother where you share with him probably one of the only secrets that you have these voices, right? So you have a decent relationship with your brother, right?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know if he cares about me or not.
Do you think your brother cares about you more than the voice cares about you?
I feel like the voice cares more about me than my brother.
Huh. Has your brother ever told you to do anything bad?
No.
No? Did the voice tell you to buy that AR-15?
Yes.
Did it tell you, hey, buy that gun, it looks cool? How many different kinds of guns did you look at before you decided to buy that gun? A lot? And was the voice helping you pick out the gun, or was it just you picking?
No, it was a voice.
Did the AR-15 get picked out because it was similar to the gun that an Army Ranger would carry?
No, it was because the voice.
Renting a house sucks. That's why owning a home is the American dream. The reality is that if you ever want to buy a home or refinance your current loan, you're going to need a mortgage. Many lenders make the whole process seem like rocket science. Not the Simple Mortgage Company. They make the whole mortgage process easy and simple, just like it should be. What is really cool about this company is that it is operated by a good friend of mine named Eric Sandstrom, and he has an awesome team of some really cool people. I have worked with Eric for the last 10 years, and I trust him and his team. I would never use anyone else. That is why if you need any type of mortgage, whether you're buying a home or refinancing your current mortgage, I recommend that you contact Eric and his team at 619-373-0973. Again, that number is 619-373-0973. Or you could visit them online at simplemortgagecompany.com. Simplemortgagecompany.com. One last tip for you mortgage shoppers out there. If you're already working with another lender or a mortgage broker, Eric and his team can often beat their offer and interest rate. So I suggest you give them a call at 619-373-0973 and see how much money they can save you. Over the course of my research for this podcast, I found that while there seems to be no history of demons, evil runs in Nicholas Cruz's DNA. To understand how this may have happened or how he went batshit crazy, we need to look back over his life to examine what events may have helped lead to that fateful day. You see, Nick was an orphan. Brenda Woodward, who I wouldn't even call a mother, but more of an evil sperm donor, had given birth to baby Nick in 1998 and then quickly gave him up for adoption. Much of his mother's history is part of public record, which shows an extensive criminal history that includes acts of extreme violence and a long battle with crack cocaine. Brenda Norma Woodward was born in 1956. Not much is known of her own childhood, but by the time Brenda had become an adult in the 1980s, she was a diehard crackhead and hardcore convict deep in the bowels of South Florida's cocaine epidemic. The local Broward County law enforcement knew her as a one-woman wrecking crew who had a rap sheet spanning of a total of 28 arrests. Her first arrest was in 1983 when she was busted on a concealed weapons charge. Her next bust was for cocaine possession 5 years later, and after that, the charges and arrest became a regular affair. In fact, she was charged with a crime nearly every year after 1983 until 2011. During the 1980s and 90s, Brenda was hopelessly addicted and hell-bent on getting high. Cops had busted her with crack cocaine, amphetamines, and codeine. Later, she stole a car and then another, fleeing from a police officer. Brenda was so hopelessly addicted that she was arrested buying crack cocaine while pregnant with Nicholas. It goes to show the boy may have never had a chance to cope. After all, we must ask, who was Nick's father? Some crackhead violent pimp that his mother screwed for a $5 rock? Brenda's most recent arrest was in 2010 after beating her partner with a tire iron and threatening to kill her. The police report read, "I observed a laceration approximately 2 inches in length to the back of the victim's head, which was producing a large quantity of blood." The police officer had written, "I further observed a laceration to the victim's forehead and scratches to the victim's face." In 2012 and 2013, Brenda's companion complained to authorities saying that she had threatened to kill her and burn down her home. Now, just a has-been crack addict who has left a trail of destruction and death behind her, Brenda Woodward lives in a housing complex for people with special needs. The bad blood in Nick's family doesn't stop there. With flowing lava-colored red hair and an attitude to match her crazy-ass mother, Nick's half-sister is one hell of a firecracker. Her name is Danielle Woodward. She is Nick's older half-sister and literally the spawn of a demon mother at the height of South Florida's crack epidemic. Danielle has served 6 years thus far of an 8-year prison sentence due to various charges as an habitual offender, including the second-degree attempted murder of a police officer. As a child, Danielle Woodward had the childhood made of nightmares. What do you expect? Her mother was a demonic crackhead who put her children through hell. Like Nicholas, who would come after, it started when poor little Danielle was in the womb. While still a fetus depending on her mother's nutrients for survival, the cocaine that her mother Brenda was doing on a daily basis was pulsating through her tiny veins. After her birth, she didn't have a fucking chance. She was born to a demon mother hell-bent on getting high. As a young child, Danielle was reportedly stripped and beaten regularly by her mother. Her mom even had the young girl still at age 12 to help fund her crack habit. All the while, Brenda Woodward was in and out of both jail and prison. During one of her lengthy prison stints, Brenda left Danielle in the custody of her maternal grandmother and then in foster care. By age 12, when one of her foster care parents had died, Danielle was left on the streets to a life of drugs and alcohol. She would rack up a total of 17 arrests, including an alleged car theft, just 4 days after she turned 13, and then again at 14. Over the years, she would be arrested for everything from petty theft, possession of a weapon at school, battery, grand theft, resisting arrest without violence, possession of a firearm at school, car theft, and another battery, and then again with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon and car theft. Danielle had shown her evil side when in 2007, Sweetwater police arrested her on charges of elder abuse and battery on a disabled person. The complaint says Danielle pushed a man off his wheelchair, knocked him to the floor, and then struck the man's 67-year-old companion, injuring both. Finally, in 2018, the fruits of her crimes had reached a climax when she was sentenced to 8 years in a Florida prison, which wrapped up several pending criminal cases altogether to be served concurrently. Judge Martin Zilber, who had presided over the sentencing, had labeled Danielle a habitual felony offender. With credit for more than 6 years served, she is expected to be released in 2020. As you can see now, it appears that bad blood runs in Nick's veins. After all, he was the spawn of a crack demon whore from South Florida. Now we must ask, who the hell was the father that impregnated this crazy bitch? Imagine the type of man who would get down with this woman in a back alley of some sweaty-ass crack pad. It is well known that people can have bad parents who are evil and come out okay, despite the acts of their biological mother and father. Most children do not go on to commit crimes if they have the proper upbringing and have good role models to teach them a better way of behavior and life. I believe the next questions we need to ponder in this story were, how were Nick's adoptive parents and what role could they have played in his behavior? In researching possible clues to an answer to these questions, I found out that Nicholas's own stepmother had actually enabled him to purchase almost all of his deadly weapons. Please keep in mind that she did this knowing full well that her son had some serious anger and mental issues. During his interrogation, we hear Nick tell the detective how his mom had taken him to buy all the guns.
Well, like I said, this post that's talking about being a school shooter, you remember the Maverick shotgun, right? Do you remember earlier when me and you were talking and I asked you if you had any other guns and you said no?
Did I say no?
Well, you said BB gun. You didn't mention the Maverick shotgun. That I would remember.
No, I do have a lot.
Huh?
I do.
You do remember saying that?
Yeah, I believe. Did I?
No, you never told me about the Maverick shotgun. I'm trying to figure out.
I told you I had other guns, right?
Well, you never told me about a Maverick shotgun. Is what I'm trying to get at. Is
okay.
What other guns do you have?
High Point.
A High Point. What caliber?
Hein.
And when did you buy that? Before or after the...
Before my mother died.
Okay. And did you buy that legitimately? At a gun store, or did you buy it on the street?
Well, I bought everything at a gun shop.
Same gun shop?
No. Different ones.
Okay.
I just can't remember.
Okay. The High Point 9mm. What else you own? What other kind of gun?
Three shotguns.
Three shotguns?
Yeah, three shotguns.
Okay, so the Maverick, what other kind of shotgun?
Remington.
What gauge?
Same.
12?
12.
And what other ones?
Mossberg.
Mossberg, what gauge?
12.
12. And what else? Three shotguns, the AR-15, a 9mm High Point. What other guns?
AK.
An AK-47?
Yes.
Okay. When did you buy that?
Recently.
When, what does that mean? Days or weeks or months?
Months.
Months? All legitimately bought under your name?
Yes.
Nobody bought them for you, right?
No.
Was anybody there with you when you bought them?
No.
Brother wasn't there? Because you know we're going to... to follow up on it, I'm just asking you. Was anybody there with you or not?
My mother was with me when I bought all the other guns.
All the other guns, but what?
But the Maverick.
Okay, the Maverick. So your mom was with you when you bought all the other guns?
Yeah.
Did she
wouldn't come in with me.
Did you tell her why you were buying the guns?
Uh,
Hey, look, I mean, I got kids too. I'm taking my kids to the gun store to buy all these weapons. I think I would ask them, hey, Nick, why do you need all of them? Did you ever have that conversation with your mom?
I told her it's...
You told her what?
It was cool. And protecting myself.
Okay, protecting yourself from what?
From boys.
Protectors, you needed 3 shotguns, 2 rifles, and a handgun. How many other handguns other than the High Point?
I don't have any handguns.
Well, in the High Point is the 9mm is a handgun. It's a rifle?
They make rifles.
Okay. Well, you know more about High Points than I do. All right, so you needed all those guns to protect yourself from the voices, but the voice is in your head. How are you going to get the voice out of your head? With 3 shotguns, 2 3 rifles.
Occupy, so he doesn't do anything.
Did you have ammunition for all these guns?
Yes.
How much money do you think you spent over all these years on all these guns and ammunition? About?
4,000.
4,000? When did you buy your first gun? How old were you?
18.
So, was it just right after you turned 18, like on your birthday? Which one did you buy first? 12-gauge?
The air in our home was slowly poisoning us and our innocent little children. There was a killer lurking within our walls, and for years, it slowly weakened our immune systems until we all got sicker and sicker. My son got hit the worst. It started with allergies and asthma-like symptoms. The flu, earaches, and diarrhea were an every-month affair. Later, he would end up much worse, in a wheelchair, and then in the hospital. We eventually found out that we had high levels of toxic mold and contaminants in our air that caused my son's and my family's health problems. It took years of therapy, a lot of money, and faith to bring him and my family back to recovery. Since I was successful and I now operate my own mold removal company, people often ask me what they can do to keep healthy and their home safe. I tell people that the air you breathe is the most important element and often the most overlooked. From the roads with smog, pet dander, pollen, heavy metals, and toxic mold, you need something that can clean your air in your home so you and your family can remain healthy. The best tool that I use and recommend by far is the Rabbit Air Purifier, and specifically the Rabbit Air Minus A2 Purifier. They are awesome for helping people who suffer from allergies and or asthma and toxic mold. The great thing is that you can order a Rabbit Air Purifier right now by calling 760-957-9255. Again, that number is 760-957-9255, or go online to cleanmyairnow.com. Rabbit Air Purifiers have true HEPA filters and one-of-a-kind 3 filter systems which trap airborne particles down to 0.3 microns, which reduces common allergens to support optimum filter efficiency and prolong filter life, making you and your family healthy. It also has wireless internet capabilities, which allows you to monitor the air quality and control purification in your home, whether you're sitting on the couch or away from the house. Enjoy the effortless experience of clean air with the cutting-edge Rabbit Air Purifiers. Again, you can order them right now by calling 760-957-9255 or visiting cleanmyairnow.com. Again, cleanmyairnow.com, or call them at 760-957-9255. Get your Rabbit Air Purifier now and start breathing easier. We now know that after the damage has been done, that the FBI was tipped off twice about Nicholas Cruz. On March 14, 2018, a top FBI official, David Bowditch, testified before a Senate panel that's investigating the shooting. Bowditch outlined the missed tips the FBI received about Cruz prior to the school massacre.
Unfortunately, as was disclosed by the FBI shortly after this terrible incident, the FBI did receive 2 separate tips that we now know were related to the shooter, Nicholas Cruz. As the FBI director has made clear, the FBI could have and should have done more to investigate the information it was provided prior to the shooting. On September 25th, 2017, we received an email tip from a person in Mississippi who indicated that a person unknown to him posted on his YouTube channel the following text, quote, "I'm going to be a professional school shooter," end quote. The posting was from the username Nicholas Cruz. In response to this tip, the PAL opened what the FBI calls a guardian lead and assigned it to our Jackson, Mississippi field office. Upon receipt of the guardian lead, an FBI agent, along with a local task force officer, interviewed the tipster on October the 2nd, 2017. At the time of this interview, the tipster provided a copy of a screenshot of the subject's post. The agent conducted searches of both FBI databases and open sources, believing the true identity of the poster could not be determined. The guardian lead was closed on October the 11th, 2017, with no additional investigative activity. A few months later, on January the 5th, 2018, the FBI received another tip by way of a call to the PAL from someone who identified herself as a close friend of the Cruz family. The caller provided information about Cruz to include the following: statements about Cruz harming himself and others, references to ISIS, that he had threatened his mother with a rifle, that he had purchased several weapons, that he wanted to kill people and she believed he was going to explode, that he was mutilating small animals, that the caller was concerned that Cruz might shoot up a school. The caller also noted that Cruz was 18 years old, but had the mental capacity of a 12 to 14-year-old. She indicated she was very concerned and had contacted the Parkland Police Department and just wanted someone to look into this matter. Upon finishing this call, the FBI operator conducted a search of our databases and found the closed guardian lead out of Mississippi. The operator then consulted with her supervisor, and the matter was closed. The information was never forwarded to a field office or to any of our state and local partners for review or action. This is not the kind of news I want to deliver to this committee, to the families, or to the public. But we are committed to transparency in all that we do on behalf of the American people. When we make mistakes, we will not hide from them, and we are committed with your help to doing whatever is necessary to correct our mistakes, and regardless, and so that tragedies like this cannot be repeated.
Since Nicholas Cruz has been locked up in jail, he has become a Cult of Demons legend, receiving fan mail mostly from teenage girls, women, and even older men from around the world, all hoping to become pen pals with a mass murderer. Jail records show that the sheriffs have been swamped screening all the letters, photos, greeting cards, postcards, and the occasional book that have been sent to Cruz. Broward County Public Defender Howard Finkelstein, whose office is representing Cruz, had said, "There's piles of letters. In my 40 years as a public defender, I've never seen this many letters to a defendant. Everyone now and then gets a few, but nothing like this." An 18-year-old girl from New York had wrote, "No one else is dealing with your demons. Meaning, maybe defeating them could be the beginning of your meaning, friend. I know you could use a good friend right now. Hang in there and keep your head up." The letter closes with hearts colored in pink ink. On March 15th, a teenager from Texas had wrote on an envelope covered with hand-drawn hearts and happy faces, "I'm 18 years old. I'm a senior in high school. When I saw your picture on the television, something attracted me to you." She continues, "Your eyes are beautiful, and the freckles on your face make you so handsome." She goes on to describe herself as white with big brown eyes. "I'm really skinny and have 34C-sized breasts." A woman from Chicago had sent Nick 9 photos of her in skimpy clothes, including a shot of cleavage and another skimpy bikini eating a popsicle and a tight shot of her backside as she bent over. Not all the letters are from women. One card was sent from a New York man with a big bushy gray mustache with a big cat on the front of it. He enclosed in photos of himself behind his 1992 white Nissan convertible. Ooh, sexy. Apparently, Cruz is not allowed to see the mail because he is on suicide watch. The jail opens and reads his mail, which is all part of public record. Finkelstein had said, "We read a few religious ones to him that extended wishes for his soul and to come to God, but we have not and will not read him the fan letters and share the photos of scantily clad teenage girls." Finkelstein is worried and says that every day boys and girls are starting to view him in an elevated way, looking up to his fame, notoriety. He said, "The letters shake me up because they are written by regular, everyday teenage girls from across the nation," he said. "That scares me. It's perverted." The facts are, they are even showering the killer with hundreds of dollars in contributions to his commissary account. Inmates can use the commissary to buy snacks, candy bars, soda, personal hygiene products, coffee, and even radios. Nick's fans are also mobilizing together on the internet with several Facebook groups of empathizers forming to talk about his case and how they can help him avoid the death penalty. In one of the groups, it describes its mission and complete support of Nicholas Cruz. Whether or not he did this, he was completely failed. He deserved to get help he needs, and he deserves a fair trial. A quote from the page says, "I want you to all know that Nicholas knows about us, and he had the biggest smile on his face when he was told that we all support him." A female had commented on the post March 16th. "Keep the letters coming because he can't wait to finally get them." She continued to write, "Hate mail is filtered out so no one can upset our boy. Haters gonna hate, potatoes gonna potate." It turns out Cruz is also facing new charges after he attacked a deputy in Broward County Jail in mid-November 2018. Wrestling him to the ground and grabbing his stun gun. The assault report said that Cruz attacked Beltran after he was told not to drag his sandals around while walking in the jail day room. Cruz responded, the report says, by showing Beltran his middle finger and then rushing the deputy and striking him with his fist. There have been daily observation reports done by corrections officers since Cruz is on suicide watch and listed as having an altered mental state. He has offered to plead guilty to the 17 murders in exchange for his life in prison, but prosecutors have rejected his defense attorney's request. On March 12th, the Broward State Attorney's Office announced it would seek the death penalty and use justified reasons such as heinous and atrocious and cruel nature of the crime and the cold, calculated, and premeditated manner in which it was carried out. It appears they fully intend to kill his demon ass for these crimes. According to police investigators, before the murders, Nicholas Cruz had searched the internet for answers to the questions he had in his head, such as, "Shooting people, massacre," "Is killing people easy?" and "Crime scene cleaner." Nick's sick mind was getting into the dark sex web 3 months before the massacre when he searched for "rape caught on video." He also researched the Aurora movie theater massacre, looked at Nazi memes, and then etched a swastika into one of the many guns he owned. He studied the proper way to commit suicide by slicing one's wrist. He took photos and videos of himself holding guns or dead animals, including one video taken after he had gutted a lizard. Cruz was caught on the video saying, "I ripped out his organs." On January 20th, he wrote a note to himself on his phone, "Basketball court full of targets, still thinking of ways to kill people." On the eve before the murders, he Googled the school's name and watched music videos about school shootings, including one where a bullied child returns to school and shoots two of the bullies. The very next morning, Cruz began searching again on the internet in the early morning hours for KKK and Nazi themes, pornography, and the phrase "school shooter." That morning and afternoon, he tried texting his ex-girlfriend several times. Later that afternoon, he rode an Uber on the way to Stoneman Douglas School with his rifle bag. Again, he texted his ex around 2 p.m., "Eat well, sleep well, and behave well, my love." Eventually, she responded, "You know I have a boyfriend, right?" Cruz texted back, "Doesn't matter anymore. I love you." There were two last texts that were sent by Cruz. One read, "Yo," and the other, "Tell." A few minutes later, he would stroll into the high school and open fire.
Do you have the call at Stoneman Douglas for the shooter?
For a shooter?
Okay, baby. Yeah, the caller is stating that there's an active shooter in the school.
Where at? What's the address?
Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland.
Stoneman Douglas High School?
Stonewall?
Okay, does anyone have an address to where I'm sending the police to?
You don't have the address for the high school?
Hold on one moment. Just a moment. Are you saying you have it? It's in there? Okay. All right. Any information on this, on the active shooter? Did anyone get any information?
No, the children are hiding.
Okay, and where? Okay, are you at the school, sir? Are you calling from the school?
No, I'm talking to the mother on the phone.
You're talking to a mother on the phone?
Yes.
Okay.
She's talking to her daughter right
okay.
now.
Okay, ask her, find out, was she able, did she hear any shots fired?
But the 1200 building.
It's the 1200 building?
Yes, the 1200 building, they heard shots.
They heard, and how many shots did they hear?
How many? She doesn't know, the girl.
She don't know how many she heard?
No, she's terrified right now.
Okay, second, another caller.
They're getting other calls?
Yes, just stay on the line. Do not hang up. Stay on the phone with me.
Here's the address, 5901.
Sir, we have it. We have it. We have it. We have it, okay?
Okay.
Coming from the 1200 building. Anything else? She couldn't tell how many shots that was heard?
Anything else she could say? Nothing? No, she's afraid to talk. They're hiding right now.
Okay, where is her daughter hiding at? Like, what room is she in?
The 1200 building.
I understand she's in the 1200 building. Does she know what room she's in, where she's hiding at?
Does she have a clue? She doesn't want to talk. The girl's silent. She's too afraid.
Oh my God!
If you would like to enjoy these podcasts ad-free without any interruptions and also get one free bonus episode every single month, please join us on Patreon and become a member for only $5. In addition to getting these podcasts ad-free, you will also help support me so I can have more time and money to produce some more cool podcasts for you. They take a lot of time and cash to create, so your support will go a long way in assisting me in doing this labor of love. Again, please join us in the member section for the Cult of Demons on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/cultofdemons. Again, patreon.com/cultofdemons. You can also go to the website at cultofdemons.com and click on the subscribe button and find out how you could subscribe and support the show.